Good morning. God is good, isn't he? All the time, he is good. I am always privileged and honored to ever have the opportunity to share about my Jesus. It is always, I get so excited about it every time. And this weekend, I've been on overload. Okay, I get to share it 5 different times. So it's a great weekend, and God is good. But today we're going to talk about the joy of serving. I'm going to ask some people for some help with this. But we have a message that we need to carry into the world. I believe in prayer. Yes, the children are supposed to go here. I believe in gratitude. I believe in serving. I believe that we are not only promised eternal life through Jesus Christ, but that we are living in the kingdom of God here and now. I believe that our soul is gratified, is defined by gratitude, and that everything we do should be a result for what God has done for us. I feel very blessed, extremely blessed, because I feel that we need to treasure our treasures. Not just garage sale stuff, but to treasure everything that we have, to count our blessings, and then spread it to our community and world. We need to spread it. We need to spread not only the gospel, but we need to spread what we are thankful for. If you were to compile a list of things that you were grateful for, what would be on your list? What would be on your list? Your family? Your church? Your friends? Some of you may have a favorite something. But we are to be blessed and show gratitude for all the things that Christ has blessed us with. I think we sometimes forget that. We live in a world that is driven to pursue happiness and joy. Everyone wants to be happy. So you can all smile now. Everyone wants to be happy. But happiness is a circumstance, something that happens at different times in our life. But to have the real joy of serving and the joy of Christ is everlasting. It lasts all the time. Most people, however, try to find the trip to joy disappointing when they finally come to the end. I see many people who aren't joyful, for they thought joy would come when they arrived at a place of power, or they had a title, or they had money, or status, or maybe just a place to be comfortable. But that's not the key. It's tragic that so many people spend a great deal of their life searching for joy, only to find at the end of the road that it's been a long process, and they have not only failed to achieve joy, but they are in the long process of day after day just going through the motions, joyless. Well, I think I've found the secret. It's not only Jesus Christ, but the secret to knowing real joy comes through servanthood. Quite the opposite of what the world thinks. Most of our culture is to serve us. It's about me. But I come to tell you today that you can find real joy by serving others. Serving God, serving others, serving everyone. Matthew 20, 26 through 28 says, "Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came to serve us. Not only our master, but he came to serve us. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 also says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, what has being a servant done for me? When I realized that I should take up servanthood, it changed my life completely. It literally changed my life. The entitlement that I felt I was owed was replaced with gratitude. My complaining turned to rejoicing. My need for a pat on the back was substituted with a thankfulness to become more like Jesus. So serving the kingdom of God and falling in love with Jesus more and more brings you joy. Have you ever thought about the joy of God's presence? Have you felt Him? How about the joy of your salvation? Remember when you accepted Christ the first time and the jubilation that welled up inside of you that you had received your salvation? How about the joy of God's goodness? Or the joy of God's word? I thought it was only fitting this morning. We've had lots of scripture. And there's the joy of God's word being heard. The joy of a clean heart. And I would also have to say, the joy in suffering. This very morning, we heard of a prayer request where prayers have been answered. I don't see, where'd she go? Must have left. But Angie spoke of how prayers are being answered. And that brings joy to my heart. And prayers are being answered all the time. We just have to stop and look at them. We have to see them. We have to be observant. John 16:33 says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Think about that. I have overcome the world. We never really have to worry because God always wins. He's changed our lives. So, we are called to follow Jesus. We are called to obey Jesus. We are called to imitate Jesus and be like Him. But most of all, I feel, we are called to participate in Jesus. Because Jesus dwells within us. We are called to serve. An interesting quote that I heard, but true, I shared this at our lock-in. I thought it was good. It says, "I tell people, and it's the truth. I could sit in my garage for a week, and it won't make me a car. And you can sit in church till your bottom is flat, and that won't make you a servant. You have to get up. You have to go." We are called to be servants and to do things for other people. Sometimes without necessarily knowing the people we are doing that service for. To serve, you don't have to know exactly who you're doing it for. And so I'm going to call up Shane Mudd. We did a service project in the church and ask him to give a little testimony of what the service, and he has no idea what babies were wearing those diapers. Okay, Shane.
So I attended the Diaper Alliance with about six of my friends, and the original intent was for us to complete our senior project, and I talked to them, and they were so unwilling to help me with this project, and I said, "Come on, guys, this would be an amazing experience for you guys to break out of your comfort zones, because they're all really introverted like I am." And so I told them, I said, "Going outside of your comfort zone while you serve helps make your experience more meaningful." And so while we were there packing diapers, we spent about 2 hours there packing hundreds upon hundreds of diapers for people in, who just general people in need. And we didn't know who these people were, as Pastor Jerry said. We were just doing it to help somebody out there and give them a hand, who was maybe down on their luck, just needed a little extra boost up. And it was funny to me, because as soon as we got done, I said, "Now, guys, was that really so bad?" And you said, "You guys have fun." And the first thing they said to me was, "When can we go back?" And I said, "Well, it just depends when we're free, you know." And so I said, "Well, I'll just have to look." And I emailed the lady and looked back. And next week they were like, "When can we go back?" And they just keep asking. They keep asking me. And it amazes me that this experience has touched their lives. And not only did it touch their lives, but the service we did was managed to help other people and touch other people's lives and show that there's really people out there who are willing to help others with no cost to themselves.
And we had a good time. We had a good time. And it created fellowship also. We went out to eat afterwards, had a great time. It was just super. You know, we have no idea where these diapers are going. But they are helping somebody. They are serving people. So what does it mean to serve someone? I just gave an example of Shane talking about the Diaper Alliance. We were helping an organization to serve. But what does it mean to serve someone? You might think of a waiter at a restaurant who takes your order, brings you food, refills your water glass, and asks, "Is there anything else I can get for you?" That's what we think. We're used to being served. But there are lots of ways that you can serve people. And whenever you do, you also serve the Lord. Jesus says that's what we do. When we serve people, we are serving the Lord. One day, Jesus was hanging out with his disciples, telling them about his future kingdom. As king, Jesus will honor those who have served him well, his sheep. When the sheep came before him on judgment day, he said, "I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you gave them to me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Anything that you did for one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did for me. That's from Matthew 25, 30, and 40. It's a verse that I use often, because any time we reach out and touch people, especially on the Lord's behalf, I think the angels are rejoicing. I think everybody's joyful at that point. Our church had a unique opportunity this year where we were given a week to work at a place called the Homeless Coalition up in Sanford. And we all, well, not all of us, but a lot of us were involved. And we went up and we served meals and we did all kinds of different things. And I've asked Shannon to come up. She took a couple shifts out there and to share what this experience meant to her. Shannon?
I have to be honest. I had a slightly selfish reason for doing it. When Isabel and Sam were little, I had a beautiful collection of storybooks that I would read to them. And that was my very favorite thing to do with them when they were little. And I haven't gotten to do that in a really, really long time. And so when I went, I took a book bag and I had it full of these books that I had read to the kids when they were little. And so the morning had started, I'd gotten there, and we had cooked some breakfast for some of them that were there. It was kind of a slow morning because it was right during that really bitterly cold spell that we were having. And so it took a while before they started to kind of come into the community room. And there were two little girls that came in, and they were about 11 months apart. The one was almost 3, and the other one was almost 4, I think is what their ages were. And so I just went and sat down out on the couch and had a couple of the books I had brought And the little girl was sitting on the floor, and she saw me with the book, and I said, would you like to read a book with me? And she didn't even hesitate, jumped right up and came and sat right beside me, and I started reading to her. And boy, did I get my fill of reading a book to a little kid. And I think I now have six Dinner Sid memorized, because that was her favorite one out of the pile. It was about a cat who went to six different homes to get fed and got sick, and she made me read it over and over and over and over again. And I was totally okay with that. And as the day went on, she, you know, got more comfortable, and she would sit in my lap, or she'd put her head on my shoulder, or, you know, her sister would come up, and they would read together. And they just really enjoyed it, and you could tell it was an experience that they hadn't had a lot of within their life of being read to. So it was just really fulfilling to be able to do that for those little girls. You know, and then lunch came, and we fed them, and afternoon came, and they got tired, and I started rocking the one to sleep, and her mom and dad finally took her back to their cabin to take a nap. There was another gal there, and through life circumstances, her children had been taken away from her, and they had a social worker that was coming out to see her. And because of my skill set, the director of the Homeless Coalition had asked me if I would sit in on this meeting that she was going to have with the social worker, just to make sure that she was being represented, because they were worried that she wasn't getting the opportunity like she should to be able to see her children. So I sat in on that meeting with her, and the social worker gave her some homework, and it was a pretty tall list if you hadn't been used to doing something like that. She kind of had to give a book report on her life, and he gave her all of these things that she needed to include within it. And when he left, she sat there and she looked at me and she said, I don't know how I'm going to do this. She said, this is just really a lot to do. I don't know how I can get it all done. And so I just encouraged her and said, you know what, you just need to do a little bit at a time. Just work on it for 15 minutes, put it down, go do something else for a while, and come back to it. And I said, and just chip away at it until you get it done. And I said, will it be easier for you to write it or type it on a computer? And she said, well, I think on the computer. And I said, well, then just put it on the computer and just start saving it every time that you work on it. And I said, and if you need any help or if you get stuck or something, I'm here. I will be more than happy to help you. So she got working on it. And then that was, I believe, I was there on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. I didn't go back until Friday, though. And when I went back on Friday, Sam went with me because they had the day off from school because it was so cold out that they had canceled school. So he came with me, and we were in there, and the two little girls come in, and the little girl looks at me and says, Kitty! Because she wanted me to read her that book about Six Dinner Sit again. So I pulled Six Dinner Sit out, and I started reading to her. And then Sam got down on the floor, and it was just so funny to see them. I mean, they just clung to us. I mean, even with Sam, they went and they plopped right down in his lap, and they were playing blocks with him. And, I mean, just you could just tell that this was something that these little girls needed. And then later on in the day, the gal that had been working on kind of her life story came in, and she said, Shannon, she says, will you take a look at this with me? So I started looking at it with her, and she was doing a really good job. The only thing is that she didn't feel like she needed any periods within her sentences. So it was kind of this free-flowing, rambling work of art that she had done. So I said, well, I think this is really good, but I really think you need to put periods in it. And she said, well, why? So I said, okay, well, let's look at it. So I read her like a paragraph out of it. And I said, after I got done, I said, do you see why? Yeah, I see why, she says. So then I said, okay, well, start putting periods in where you think they need to go. And so she's like, all right. But then when she started working on it and she figured it out, and I mean, you could just see her really getting into it and knowing what she needed to do. And one of the other things she needed to do was create a genogram of her family. And so she was trying to figure out how to do that. For one thing, she didn't know what a genogram was. So I explained to her what it was. And then she was trying to figure out, well, how am I going to do it? And I said, well, you could draw it on a piece of paper. I said, or you can do it on the computer. And so I showed her how to use the shapes and everything and how she could make this genogram. And She was just really amazed with that, and she, I mean, quick study. She picked it right up, and she started doing it, and she said, I didn't know you could do this on the computer, and I, you know, showed her what word check was and all of those things, and so, and like I said, she just picked it right up and started using it, and I just was really glad to do that for her, because I thought if that's a skill set that she can kind of walk away with, and if she knows how to do a few more things on the computer to kind of get her somewhere in life that's a better place for her, what a joy that will be for her. And so, you know, I read books. I corrected a paper. I made some food. It wasn't hard to make food. I found people that have a deep appreciation for my baked beans that I make, once again. And so it was just a really good experience all the way around. And it wasn't hard. There wasn't anything that was hard about it. And I just kind of did the things that I know how to do and the things that I love to do. So, thank you.
Did you hear that? It wasn't hard. It wasn't hard. And sometimes I think we have reluctant servants, okay? And mostly because it's the fear of the unknown, fear of you not going to know what to do. But most of the time, God has equipped you with things that you never thought of. The message is pretty clear. We've heard about serving when you're not knowing. The people at the Homeless Coalition, we didn't really know. But the smiles on their faces meant everything to me and to the other people that worked. But whenever you do things for other people, you're serving Jesus. It may be hard. It might cost you something. You might not get a thank you because they don't know that. They don't know that. But that shouldn't matter. That should not matter because it's still putting a great big smile on God's face, you serving. So we've talked about doing things. We've talked about serving locally. And we not only can reach out to our local community, we can also reach out to the world. Even Mount Haley. Listen as we hear a testimony of not only a mission, not only serving people, but reaching into the world to serve. I've asked Isabella to share a little bit about her experience in Guatemala.
When I told people I was going to Guatemala, they kind of looked at me like, that's not a very common vacation spot. You don't look like you belong in Guatemala. Why are you going there? And when I said I was going there for a mission trip, they got even more skeptical. My most common question, I think, was, don't you know it's dangerous there? And it was kind of just like, oh, no, I had no idea, but thank you. But I would just normally say, yes, thanks for your concern. You know, we're taking a lot of precautions. My group has gone there before and everything. But to be quite honest, it was dangerous, and that's just the way it is. Every corner, there's assault rifles with people that, I wonder if they should have an assault rifle. They certainly wouldn't be allowed to have one in the United States on the corner. And breakneck traffic like I've never seen before in the United States. And an entirely just corrupt government, corrupt police force. And the conditions weren't that great. Diesel fuel was really thick. Lots of poverty, obviously. And you know what? That was the most blessed experience I've ever had in my life. Because by being in Guatemala, I could feel myself growing closer to someone after Jesus' own heart. Because Jesus wasn't being theoretical when he said that we should go and befriend the dirty, the homeless, the broken. He really wasn't kidding about that. And he wasn't saying it for his own health. If Guatemala taught me anything, it was that we need to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. We have to be bold and take our faith into action. And whether that's in the slums of Guatemala, whether that's in Detroit, Michigan, whether that's at Bullet Creek High School, We have to do scary things to serve the Lord. And we can't do that by simply sitting here. I watched painful things in Guatemala, but more importantly, I watched a wall being built by mostly my grandpa and Ron, so that way, a hill wouldn't collapse on a woman's house during the rainy season. I watched clothing being distributed in a room that was far too small for all the people that were in it, and it was kind of funny to see them all holding up the clothes and seeing which ones they wanted and seeing them boys pick out clothes for their little siblings, and it was just too adorable. I watched so much bubble gum being handed out, and they were so happy. I've never seen kids so happy about something like that. It was the best experience I've ever had in my life. And everyone was used. Like I said, my grandpa and Ron, they did the manual labor mostly, but others did as well. But then we had people that, even I did a little bit of translating, and that's so valuable. Just knowing any little bit of Spanish helped. And people that could just sit and pray in English. These people were so grateful for anything. And serving is vital. Love the sinner, love the broken. That's what Jesus wants us to do. I was blessed to be in Guatemala, and serving the humans there helped me grow closer to the heart of Jesus. And serving, you really do find joy in it, I can attest.
Did you see the joy? Did you see the joy? The joy in serving. Did you know that you can be a missionary? You are a missionary. Anyone who tells someone about Jesus is a missionary. Right here. Sometimes people are called to serve in other countries. But you are called to serve where you are. Because this is the kingdom of God. This is where God has called you. He's called you to tell others about Jesus. He's called you to serve others. A good model for Christian living, you know, I was thinking on this theme of joy, is me third. Naturally. God comes first. Second, we should focus on the needs of people, just as the Bible says. But another way to remember that principle is by using the letters in the word joy, which is what service brings to you. Think of joy as being standing for Jesus. Because Jesus, a moving relationship with Him, an evolving relationship with Him, is the most important thing in the world that you can have. Jesus. That's what the story is about. The O stand for others. Thinking about others. Think about others. What you can do for them. How you can serve them. How you can help them. How you can bring a smile on their face. How you can comfort them. The list goes on and on. But with Jesus already on your side, serving others becomes easier. And of course, the why in joy is you. I don't think it's wrong to serve yourself. You are a masterpiece that Christ has created. You are a masterpiece. And you can greet each day with joy by serving Jesus, serving others, and then taking care of yourself. Since the Lord has promised to take care of our needs, that does free us up to look after everyone else. Because if you think about that list that we made about gratitude, everyone in this room has been taken care of by God. We are blessed people. As Isabella alluded to, we saw a lot poorer people in Guatemala. Now, those poor people are here. Look around your community. They are here. Okay? But one of the things that has always struck me about Guatemala is that the people are so happy. They don't seem to know that they are a third world country. It doesn't seem to register with them. Because of the people that we meet are full of Jesus. They have Jesus in their hearts. So I'm challenging you. Stand out. Be different. Today, decide that you'll just relax about yourself because God's taking care of you. And trust that He will take care of you because He does each and every day. Then you can pursue joy as you live in His kingdom because His kingdom is right now. We don't have to wait to heaven to be in His kingdom. We're here. We're here. And He calls us to serve. You know, our legacy doesn't matter. It isn't really that important that we are remembered. It's always flattering. I met somebody Friday night who came up to me and shook my hand. He says, "So you're Jerry Graham." "Yep, I'm Jerry Graham." I didn't know whether it was going to be good or bad. Okay, he says, "I've been wanting to meet you for 10 years. He says, "Now, I thought he was going a little overboard." He says, "You're a legend." I rolled my eyes. He said, "But you've been serving God." I said, "Yes. Primarily, that's my goal in life, is to love Jesus and serve God." You want to serve because service will bring you the joy that you're looking for. And it will bring happier moments. They all three alluded to that. Our speakers did a great... I knew you needed to hear from people that have experienced the joy of serving. Isabel says the best thing's ever happened in her life. You could feel the love that Shannon had for the little girls that she read to. And Shane's now got a group of guys that want to do diapers. Think about it. And that's pretty cool. That's very cool. But I feel that it's extremely important that when we meet the Lord, He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We want to finish strong. I know I want to finish strong. And I know that I will always be a servant because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with this verse. It's from 1 Peter 4. It says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever." God has blessed us in so many ways. We should be so grateful for how He has worked in all of our lives. And now we should spread the news. Be different. Stand out. When we have a service project here, do it. I know we have people working hard at creating things that we can do. But if you serve each other, if you serve your community, and you serve your world, God has a joyful life for you. Amen.